Hello, church family. It's good to be with you this morning. Very thankful today to be able to share from God's Word. Particularly, we'll be looking at Matthew chapter 6 at verse 25 through 32. Do want to let you know, as a church family, we're very encouraged. Pastor Andy and I are, just with your encouragement to us. Many of you have shared with us that you are praying for us during this particular time. And also want to let and encourage you as a church family to be in contact with one another, even more so than you ever have as a church family, that we might draw closer together in unity and in love of the Lord Jesus Christ and one another. And so this is our second week as we are unable to meet in person. And so before we go to Matthew chapter 6, verse starting at verse 25, I want to pray for us. And so do encourage you, if you have a copy of God's Word or whichever particular device that you might be maybe using to look to God's Word, encourage you to go ahead and get that out now. Turn to Matthew 6, and we'll be beginning at verse 25 and reading together down to verse 34. And so with that, let me pray for us. Father, we thank you for your mercy and your grace and your loving kindness. Lord, your mercies are new every morning. Your loving kindness, new each and every morning, every day. And so, Lord, help us to be thankful for the grace and mercies in which you give today. Lord, may we continue to rest in the assurance and the promises of your word. And Lord, we thank you for the gift and of the Holy Spirit that resides in those who repented and trusted in you as their Lord and Savior. Lord, we do pray for those who are part of Emmanuel Baptist Church and our flock, and pray, Lord, that you would continue to encourage them, strengthen them, Lord, in the faith. Lord, help them to draw nigh to you and nigh to one another in unity and love and affection toward one another. Lord, we do thank you for those who are able to join us today by way of video, that may be watching that aren't particularly a part of our church family at Emmanuel Baptist. And so, Lord, we thank you for them, and we do lift them and their families up to you as well. And Lord, as we turn our attention to Matthew chapter 6 this morning, pray that you would help each and every one of us, Lord, as we all have a common struggle, as we all in some shape or form may struggle with worry, fearfulness, and anxiety. And so, Lord, as we wrestle and are tempted by these things, Lord, may we put those things to death and put on your truth, your promises, that we would overcome those things which easily attempt to ensnare us. Lord, we also continue to lift up Pastor Andy. See, grieves and his family as well. At the passing of his father early this week, and Lord, we're thankful that he was able to make the trip there to Virginia. And Lord, we pray that he would continue along with his family to be encouraged in the truths of the gospel. In Christ's name I do pray. Amen. Well, Matthew chapter 6, if you trust that you've already made your way to Matthew 6, if you haven't, I encourage you to do so now. Matthew chapter 6, looking at verse 25, and we'll read down to verse 34. So starting at verse 25 of Matthew chapter 6, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the valley, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Well, there are some rulers who find it effective to keep their subjects in constant anxiety. If their people are anxious about life and worry about where their next meal is coming from, then perhaps they will be more willing to do the king's bidding in order to get the food they need from the king's storehouse. And so anxiety keeps them in their place. But one of the greatest things about Jesus is that he doesn't want his people to be anxious. The main point of today's text is that God doesn't secure his kingship by encouraging anxiety, but to free us from that anxiety. God doesn't need to keep us anxious in order to establish power and dominance, you see. Instead, he exalts his power and his dominance by working to take away our anxiety. If you are a Christian, so if you've turned away from your sin and are following the Lord Jesus in faithful obedience, his will for you today is that you not be anxious about anything, but that you have peace and that you have security. Jesus spoke these words in Matthew chapter 6, at verse 25 and following, precisely for you, to help you to overcome those things that are making you anxious today. Well, we do have a common struggle, don't we? As one of your pastors at Emmanuel Baptist Church, I'm not personally immune to my own struggle with anxiety. As an example, throughout the year, paperwork must be updated for my mom, who is at the Harrisburg Health and Rehabilitation Center. I recently made some of those updates that were necessary, and after a couple of weeks, I received mail stating that it still needed to be updated. I immediately allowed that news, that moment, to tempt me to frustration. And I found myself further beginning to be anxious. But I know it's not just my problem. I'm not alone in that problem. There's a lot of young people who are anxious about whether they're going to get married or not. And there are many of us, no matter what age we may be, who are worried, who are fearful, or anxious about the situation that we are in presently with the coronavirus and what that might look like, not only in the immediacy, but in the weeks and the months and the years to come, related to many different things. And so adults get anxious. Young people get anxious. Pastors get anxious. Everybody is tempted to get anxious. And so we're all in a season of life right now where there is a temptation to be anxious, to be worried, to be fearful, And so we need a word from the Lord. And God gives us a word in His truth, in His promises of the Scripture, regardless of what situation that we may find ourselves in pertaining to life. And so we need a word from the Lord to remind us that His kingship is not built on our anxiety, the anxiety of His people. But it's He has made Himself king over us to do away, to take away our anxiety. So when you see the reasons He gives why we don't need to be anxious, His word, His powerful word, is revealed to us, isn't it? You should notice very clearly today within our text that the disciples of Jesus should not be anxious. Look with me in your copy of God's Word at verse 25 of Matthew 6. It says, "Do not be anxious about your life." Also look further with me at verse 31. "Do not be anxious saying, what shall we eat?" And then lastly at verse 34, "Do not be anxious about tomorrow." So the one thing that stands out is Jesus does not want me, does not want you to be anxious about anything. And so since Jesus doesn't want us to be anxious, what is it that we should be doing? Well, look down with me at verse 33. So instead of being anxious, we're to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. So in other words, when you think about your life, whether you'll get the coronavirus, when you think about the food that you need for life, for living, will my family have enough food? Will we have the supply that we need? Or when you think about your clothes, when you think about maybe if you're married, your spouse or your job, don't be anxious about these things, He's saying. And so to seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness first in every circumstance and every moment of life brings freedom, and it brings peace, and it brings joy, but also it brings hardship, and it's worth it all. It's worth it all. And so if you believe in the kingship of your Heavenly Father, you don't need to be anxious about anything. So let's look together at some of the reasons why that we don't need to be anxious about anything. And we're going to see these things right in verse 25 down to verse 34. So I want to walk you through these. Look with me, the first one there at verse 25. Life is much more. Life is much more than food or clothing. So verse 25 says, "Do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing?" You see, one thing we need to be reminded of is that God owns everything. That I need to be reminded of is that God owns everything. David says in Psalm 24, verse 1, "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and those who dwell in it." Everything we now have belongs to the Lord. And everything we will ever have belongs to Him. So why then do we worry about God's taking from us what really belongs to Him? God owns everything. Additionally, we need to be reminded, I believe, this morning, today, is that God controls everything. He not only owns everything, but He controls everything. So as a believer, as a Christian, we should be content as we think about God's promises, about His faithfulness, about His providence and sovereignty in this world, in our personal lives. Daniel declared in Daniel chapter 2, at verse 20 and 21. Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, to whom belong wisdom and might. He changes times and He changes seasons. He removes kings and He sets up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. So God owns everything. He owns everything. But also God controls everything. And then further, maybe we'll be reminded that God provides everything. He owns everything, He controls everything, and He also provides everything. Paul assures us of this as we think about being content as a believer, as a Christian. He assures us of this in Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. God shall supply all your needs according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus. And so God is the one who does provide everything to the believer, to the Christian. And so may you be encouraged today. May you be content because you are looking and seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and you are reminded and encouraged that God does provide everything, that God does control everything, and that God does own everything. And isn't life much more than food and clothing? Secondly, may we see the second reason that Jesus gives for not being anxious there at verse 26 is that even there, we're going to read again, that even the birds depend upon God. The birds depend upon Him. Verse 26 says, look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Jesus isn't suggesting that birds do nothing to feed themselves. He's not suggesting that. Birds are very diligent and persistent in hunting for food. But Jesus says it is God that feeds them. It is God that provides for them. It is God that the birds are dependent upon, even though they don't realize that's who they're dependent upon. And so they're dependent upon God to feed them. And so they don't worry about where their next meal is going to come from. Birds don't anxiously hoard things for the days to come, do they? No. They go about their work, trusting that when the sun comes up tomorrow, there will be more to eat. How much more, then, should we be reminded that God will provide for tomorrow's needs for us? Because we're not birds. We're not birds, but we're children of our Heavenly Father. And so unlike the birds, we are disciples of Jesus if we know Christ as our Lord and Savior. And we have the capacity of honoring God by our faith in Him. And so we should not be anxious, because the birds should even remind us that God can be counted on to work for us tomorrow just as He has today. Further, may we notice the third reason that we shouldn't be anxious, regardless of what circumstance or situation that we are in life, that we shouldn't be anxious, that we see here in verse 24, is that it's futile when we go about being fretful, fearful, and worried, that it's futile. Verse 27, and which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life. The argument here is it's very practical. Anxiety doesn't get us anywhere, does it? Anxiety doesn't get us anywhere. It doesn't do us any good, in other words. So whatever the problem is that's causing you or I to feel anxious, you can be sure that anxiety, your anxiety, will not lessen, my anxiety will not lessen the problem. So when I, earlier this week, you know, got that mail stating that, hey, things from my, your mother isn't updated, these records, well, I could have continued on in my anxiety, but it was futile. It would not have gotten, it doesn't get me anywhere. I'm just being frustrated about it. I'm being fearful about it. I'm being so concerned that at the end of the day, it doesn't get me anywhere. And so we need to seek the kingdom of God first and His righteousness. And so as we continue to stay in those moments of continuing to worry, allowing that to drag us on down that path, or continuing to be anxious about circumstances and situations, it only makes things more miserable while we try to deal with it. And so I want to encourage you to seek first the kingdom of God, to seek His righteousness, to be looking to His Word, to be going to Him in prayer, to be reaching out to other like-minded believers, be reaching out to one another as a church family, to be sharpening one another in these particular times that we are in. But not only during these times, but also in the weeks, the months, and the years ahead. And so we're not to be anxious because it is futile and futile. Well, the fourth reason that Jesus gives us for not to be anxious that we see there is in verse 28 to verse 30. At verse 28, and look there with me. And why are you anxious about clothing? About clothing. Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, yet I tell you, even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will He not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? And so perhaps the people to whom Jesus was referring to, talking to, had very little clothing. And so He pointed to their surroundings again. And this time, though, it was to the flowers, possibly wildflowers, to assure them of God's concern and God's provision for them. So the gorgeous displays of nature had no part in designing or coloring themselves. And yet, compared to Solomon, flowers, as we see here, are arrayed with much more beauty than even the king in his royal robes. And so to be anxious about things that we need to survive, Jesus says, is sinful and shows little faith. And so we say that we trust that He will redeem us, that He will save us from our sin. And yet, we don't trust Him to supply our daily needs. And don't you think that that's nonsense? I know that I do. Even as I, you know, think about it and ruminate over these truths, and I'm reminded of the nonsense, the things that I can be guilty of doing personally in my own life, being anxious, allowing that to allow myself to be miserable at times, to carry that further than it needs to go. But know that I need to cut that off, and that I need to put on God's promises and His truths, that He does provide everything that we need, that He is sovereignly and providentially watching over the ways of this world, us personally, as His children, if we belong to Him. Well, the fifth and sixth reasons that we see why a follower of Jesus shouldn't be anxious are given in verse 32. Look there with me at verse 32. That we shouldn't be anxious about what we eat or drink or wear. Because why? Because the Gentiles seek all these things. And your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. And so anxiety about these things, anxiety about the things of this world, puts us on the same level as that of unbelievers. And that shouldn't be the case. It shouldn't be the case at all. We should not be on the same level as pertains to being anxious in our thoughts and being tempted in that way. It also shows that we don't think our Heavenly Father, even in heaven, knows our needs. Or perhaps we don't think that He has a heart of a loving Father. And so anxiety shows that we are too close to the world and too far from God. Anxiety shows that we are too close to the world and that we are too far from God. So don't be anxious. It's easy, yes, just to say, don't be anxious. But Jesus reminds the disciples, it reminds us even today, don't be anxious. And here are several reasons why. But then here are reasons why you can look in what you should be doing, seeking the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Well, the seventh reason not to be anxious in verse 33 is that when you seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness first, He works for you and provides all of your needs. And so it's such a foolish thing to insist on carrying anxious burdens which God has promised to carry for us when we seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness in everything we do. So God carries our burdens on our behalf. And then we're reminded in verse 34, He says, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Let the day's own trouble be sufficient for the day. And so in other words, God has appointed to each day its portion. He's appointed to each day its portion of pleasure and trouble. And so don't appropriate then God's allotted troubles for tomorrow. Don't bring them, in other words, forward into today in the form of anxiety. And so the main point of all of this is that Jesus does not want us as His followers to be anxious. He does not secure His kingdom by keeping His subjects in a state of worry. And according, as we looked at verse 33, the more primary His kingship becomes in our lives, the less anxiety we're going to notice in our own lives and the less anxiety that we will have. The more primary His kingship in our lives, the less anxiety that we will have. Jesus came and Jesus lived. Jesus died and Jesus rose again from the dead in order that He might reign as King over His people. And so if you're listening and you're not a believer, I want you to hear those words, that Jesus did come, that Jesus died. He came. He laid His life down on a cross for the forgiveness of sins, that you might know true forgiveness of your sins. Because without the forgiveness of sin, there is no remission of that sin. And you are headed to hell. That Jesus laid His life down on the cross for you. That He was buried. And that He rose again, overcoming sin and death on your behalf. And so if you don't know Christ, I'm going to pray for you. I want to ask you to look to the One. Even in the midst of these days, the things that are taking place. And as you consider your own life and what that looks like, pray that God would work in your heart even now. And that you might look to Him, that He might do a work, a mighty work in your heart, and draw you to repentance and faith in Him. For those who are believers, Christians, come to Jesus. As we think about the temptation to be anxious and worry and fearful during these times, with the coronavirus taking place, flee and run to Christ. Flee and run to Him. Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. He is good, and He wants what's best for you. So seek first in all that you do to make known His kingship in your life and over your life. This and this alone is the way to freedom and true anxiety. I want to read a portion of Scripture for you from Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, as we wrap things up today. Paul, in his word to the believers there at Ephesus, I want to pray for you, church family. I pray that the eyes of your hearts would be enlightened and that you may know what is the hope to which He has called you, what are the riches of His glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of His power toward us who believe, according to the working of His great might. Let's pray together, shall we? Father, we thank You for Your glorious might and Your working in our lives. Lord, I do pray for the believers, our church, those in our church family, Lord, those listening that may be with us today, that struggle, temptation to worry and be anxious, not even only during these times that have been very difficult and a trial in their lives. And Lord, help them to respond well. Help them to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. May they pursue and be persistent and consistent in looking to the One who does provide everything, that owns everything, that controls everything, that reigns providentially in our lives. May these truths be an encouragement to their hearts today. May You use them to spur them on to godliness and righteousness for Your glory, Lord. Lord, I pray that they would be faithful in reaching out to one another in the days and the weeks to come, and encouraging one another's hearts with the truths and in being in prayer for one another. In Christ's name I do pray. Amen.